Welcome to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB. For more information about the ministries of First Baptist Church or to listen to previously recorded messages, please visit albertvillefbc.org. If you do not have a church home, please join us for worship this Sunday at 10:15 a.m. We hope you are blessed by today's broadcast.
The blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary, the blood that gives me strength.
Precious blood of Jesus. We start here with Calvary. We start here with the cross. Thank you, God. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. And I pray that every person here today, every person listening on the radio, every person participating online can know the power of the presence of God, can know what it means to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, can know what it means to live the life you've called us to live. In the valleys, in the mountains, we can live that life. Thank you, Father. Teach us now from your word. Make us more like you today, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Be seated. It is great to worship with you today. What a day of celebration and a day to honor, from baptism to singing these beautiful songs about Jesus. All glory be to Christ our King. All glory be to Christ. His rule and reign we will ever sing. All glory be to Christ. And to sing about the blood of Jesus and to make that commitment where we say, God, take my hands, take my mouth, take my feet, take my life, use me for you. I love to think about the fact that we don't have to just give God our will. We also can give him our bodies, that we can make a determination that we will do the things he's called us to do. Determination matters. I've found that more in the last 2 weeks than in a long time. If you've been watching the Olympics at all, they end this evening. And so as they come to a conclusion, we are reminded of the incredible elite athletes and the incredible power they have all over this world who have come together. And if we normal people ever got in a game with them, we would just not even be able to come close to hanging in competition. Even the slowest runner is so much faster than we are. The slowest swimmer is so much faster than we are. The incredible gymnast, they can do things you and I could only dream of. I wish we had an Olympics for normal people. Things like my competition would be who can go to sleep the fastest when they lay down at night. I got you guys beat on that one, I'm telling you. Or maybe who's the fastest high-speed lawnmower, I don't know. We might even have an Olympic sport. If they're letting me pick, we would do Christmas trivia. Anybody know how many days till Christmas? It's 138, you amateurs, I'm telling you. I'm a professional here, okay? But as the Olympics officially come to an end, there's something that I hate about the Olympics. It always bothers me because it's sad. And I get really secondhand sadness, secondhand frustration, secondhand embarrassment for the athlete. And that is something that happens in track and field. And it's something that happens in swimming. It's the false start. When you see someone who has spent hours and hours, 40, 50, 60 hours a week for 4 years, and in this Olympics, 5 years, because we delayed it a year, they spent all those hours preparing, doing other races, but preparing for this one moment on this world stage. You see that they went to bed at the right time and were disciplined with their sleep. You see that they ate the right things morning, noon, and night, day in, day out, year after year. They trained. They saw mental professionals and they got help in all different aspects of how you train and what you do. Countless amounts of money spent on them to get them to the place where they could be in elite competition, and there at the starting line, through a false start, they are eliminated. Years ago, we used to allow a second, a warning, but because of the speed of the athletic games and trying to get them all in, the last few Olympics, in many of those individual races, if you false start right at first, you are out, and all that work is gone. You're disqualified because of starting incorrectly. Friends, there's no better picture than what we see in the scripture in Hebrews today. If you'll turn to Hebrews 12, there's no better picture than what you see here of the fact that we must start our new life in Christ correctly. And let me let you in on a little secret. If you do not start your new life in Christ correctly, you will be disqualified for all eternity. Now that seems harsh, but it's just the truth, and I want to show you. Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in verse 1, it says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which so easily clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." This is an incredible passage that you've probably heard before, and it talks about running a race, but we're not going to talk about running a race. We're going to talk about starting a race. And so the most important part of this is, first, we start with the context. What's the context of these words? Well, the context is always found in the clue of the sentence. And it says, the very first word is therefore. And anytime you see the word therefore in the scripture, if it starts a chapter or if it starts a passage or a subject, if it starts with therefore, always stop and say out loud, what's it there for? Because it always implies a different context from something that's said before it. So when you read this, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a cloud of witnesses, what's the context? What's it there for? You back up to chapter 11 and you see this incredible chapter that gives us this faith journey of many, many men and women who honored the Lord and honored God and tried to live for him even in hard and difficult times. And so it talks about their faith. It talks about their resilience. It talks about what they went through. And then it says, therefore, because of that, we're surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses. So let us lay aside every weight
and everything that clings so closely. And it goes on to tell us what we are to do. Now, most theologians or most preachers, honestly, will focus on the idea of running that race and what that means. But I just want to look at the start. Look at verse 2 again. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Now, please hear me say this. This may seem overly simple, but I mean it with all my heart. New life must start with Jesus Christ. Amen? New life starts with Jesus. New life does not start with church. New life does not start with making the decision to turn over a new leaf. New life starts with Jesus. So the way we start, the founder of our faith, he starts it. Yours might say, your translation, the author of our faith. He writes the story. The founder, the author of your faith is Jesus. And as simple as this message is, and I realize most of us in here at least know who Jesus is, I want to share with you, you must start with Jesus. Let me give you some examples. Religion is a horrible place to start your new life. Why? Because religion always leads to following rules. And there's no one that can follow all the rules. So religion, which you want to give life, ends up bringing death. It will lead that way every time. If you just want to be a religious person and follow all the rules, I would tell you start in Genesis and work your way through, and good luck. I want to see if you can work. Listen, it's not going to happen. We cannot follow and obey all the rules. We all have sin in our lives. So religion's a lousy starting point. It's a false start from the start. But some people will say, well, I'm not really about religion, but I want to do good things. And I realize I'm a good person. I can't tell you how many times I've asked someone, tell me, do you know Jesus? And what does that mean for them to simply say, I try to do good to everybody. I try to be good. Listen, friends, I love you. And some of you are very, very good people. But I have to tell you something. You'll never be good enough. You just won't. It says in Scripture, Romans chapter 3, verse 10, says, as it is written, none is righteous. You and I, we're part of the none. None is righteous. No, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. They together become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Now, the exaggerated speech mentioned here is in comparison to the righteousness of God. So the idea is that even when you do good things, it's as if they're not good because we're not perfect like God is. So if you ask the question, how good is good enough? Well, however good you are, it is not good enough. We are not perfect. God is holy and righteous, and so we must be perfect without sin and not even come from a bloodline of sin. So we just can't get there. It's a trap. To be good is a trap from the beginning. Now, I hope you are good, and I want to be good, but it's not the starting line for new life. So it's not religion. It's not committing to be good. Here's the truth. It's not even church attendance. Church attendance is a great prep to point you to Jesus. It is a great way to learn about that. Church attendance is a great way to be equipped and trained to live the life that God has called us to, but it is not going to be your starting point. Now, you can come here to find out what the starting point is, and I'm going to tell you in just a moment, but realize that church attendance alone is not that. How do we know? Look across the church belt where we live. And again, I've said this before, I don't like to call it the Bible belt because we got a whole lot of churches, but not a lot of Bible. And so it's the church belt, I really believe. And in the church belt, you look across it, you see it all. In every church, there are some people, well-meaning people, who have gone to church their entire lives socially, but they've never started with the founder of their faith, Jesus. They've never been radically transformed by him. They've walked an aisle, repeated a prayer, and went on about their life. Friends, you cannot add Jesus to your life. You are dead, and he makes you new and alive. He gives us new life. And so Jesus does this work in us, and even attending church is not enough. Jesus is the starting point. He is not only the founder and the author of your faith. Get this though. Verse 2 also says he's the perfecter of your faith. That literally means he completes your faith. He finishes your faith. How does Jesus complete your faith and finish your faith? Look again at verse 2. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. How did he perfect and finish your faith? He did it through the cross. He did it through the shed blood of Jesus. That's how your faith was started. That's how your faith is perfected. That's how your faith is finished. The blood that never loses its power. He still does that in our lives. Now, why did he do this? The scripture right here says it was for the joy set before him that he endured the cross. Now, if you were to ask 20 theologians what the joy is it's speaking of, you might get 20 different answers because it's not expressly made clear. We can allude what we think it means, but when it says the joy set before him, we're not 100% sure, but I want to tell you what many people would say. There are those that would surely say it was a joy for Jesus to please his Father. That was the joy set before him, surely. There are others that would say surely it was a joy for Jesus to receive the glory he deserved himself at the resurrection. And I would agree that was surely a joy for him. But if you're asking me my personal opinion, this is it. I really believe, according to Jesus' character and according to what we read in Scripture and what it says, that the joy it's referring to is you. The joy it's referring to is me. I really believe with all my heart that we are the joy set before him. We are the reason he endured the cross, scorning its shame. The untold millions of people who would receive his grace and mercy and begin to give him the glory and honor that he is due. It's the new life and grace that was the joy set before him. So we start with Jesus. So let me ask a personal question, a simple question. Do you know him? Have you really been transformed by him? I'm not asking, do you go to church? I'm not asking, do you give money in the offering plate? I'm asking, has your life been radically transformed by the power of Jesus? That this is what you once were, and this is what you now are, and you think different, you act different, you walk different, you talk different, and you're empowered different because of Jesus. I'm convinced there are many people who have socially attended church their whole life who do not know Jesus. I'm not trying to frighten you, but if you do not walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, at some level you don't feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit when you sin, if you don't have any understanding of a change in your life that took place, if you think you were turning over a new leaf instead of turning over a new life, if you think you were just adding Jesus to your life to make things better instead of being dead and him giving you life to make you alive, then I want to encourage you, give Jesus your life. Receive his salvation today. Start here. If you're listening on the radio, I know we have a lot of people who listen at work, who listen in their car, and I know this is a country station, and you might have been turning on this station looking for some good country music. I'll sing you a little Vince Gill. The heart won't lie. The heart will lie. Your heart lies to you all the time. Don't believe the stuff you're listening to. The truth is, but your head will tell you the truth. And the head would say this. That sounded really country when I sang it too, didn't it? I don't know. Sorry. But the truth is, I love the station we're on. I'm thankful for it. I really am. But maybe you ended up there, if you're listening, accidentally in your mind. Can I tell you, you got to start with Jesus. You got to start with Jesus. I don't mean this out of anger or resentment. I want to throw you a lifeline today. Give your life to Jesus. Maybe you're participating online. You've seen the rising number of COVID. You've had some concerns, some worries, and for different health reasons, you're sitting at home instead of in a church somewhere, and somehow you ended up on our live stream today. Can I tell you, start with Jesus. Don't start with your church. Don't start with church attendance. There may be a day we all have to go back home. Hope not, but there might be. Attendance won't do it. It's Jesus that does it. Start with Jesus. And here's what I would say to you. God stands ready to adopt you as a son of the King. He stands ready, ladies, to make you a daughter of the Most High King. It's not that we are just humble servants, though we are, and that's a good definition. We are children of God made new by the salvation of Jesus. I love how Tim Keller wrote this down years ago. Listen to his words. He said, the only person who dares wake up a king at 3 a.m. for a glass of water is his child. We have that kind of access to God. I love that. That's the God we know and love, who made a way for us that provides new life. He's holy and righteous and worthy of perfection, but yet he sent his son Jesus to make a way for you and me that we could walk in him. So today, if you've never given your life to Jesus, settle that right now. The rest of what I'm saying just won't matter apart from that. Settle Jesus in your life. Ask him to forgive you. Ask him to make you new. It's no fancy words. It's your heart and your mind saying, I need you, Jesus. I don't just need church. I need you. I don't just need religion that's messing me up. I need you. I don't just need to try to be good. I need you. Give your life to Jesus. Whether you're 84 in this room or 8, no matter what age you are, if you've been in church a while, it would be a wonderful day today to settle that you have Jesus in your life. But for those of us who we know for certain we have Christ in our life, let's go back to the Olympics really quickly. Jesus is your foundation. Let me give the Olympic version of that. That means this: he's the only way you get into the stadium to begin with. You didn't even get invited into the stadium to compete. Jesus is your way in. He's the one who gave you the life to be able to run the race. He's the one that helped you to be on the starting line, to give you an opportunity to respond to the perfection of Jesus and the grace of God to allow you then to have the strength to take your breath to run the race. He is running the race for you. So where do we go from here? Once we have Jesus doing the new life in us, how are we then to live our lives and live out that race? What do we do? Two non-negotiable points for living in Christ for today. We'll add some more over the next few weeks. We've got some great things we'll talk about in the coming weeks. But today it's very, very simple. And here they are. No rocket science. Here's the starting points. Time in God's word and time in prayer. Now I know some of you saying, Chris, that is so simplistic. And we're here, we've been in church our whole lives. We know to read God's word and we know to pray. If it's Olympics, that's elementary school track and field, and we're talking about the Olympics. That we need more than that. Can I say to you, honestly, you don't need more than that. As simple as it sounds, the place to start to live the life that God has called for you and me is time in his word and time in prayer. If statistics hold true, what happens around our nation for believers, Barna Research tells us, if it holds true other places, and it's true in Albertville, and if it's true in Albertville, it's true in this church, and if it's true in this church, there would probably be less than 50% of the people in this room who are consistent in God's word on a daily and regular basis. And so it's important that we're reminded and gently encouraged that we need to be in God's word. Hebrews is where we're going to be. We already read some of Hebrews. We're going to read some more. We'll be in different places in Hebrews this whole month. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says this, though. For the word of God is living and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. What does that mean? It means the word of God is living. The word of God is not just a book with words. It is living and active, and it says it divides in our lives. This is what it tells us. God's word shows us ourselves. It shows us our intentions, and it shows us our heart. If you read it, it will reflect that to you if you're open and allow the Holy Spirit to speak. But God's word also shows us who God is, his intentions, and his heart. And so we need that in our lives. We must feed on God's word personally. Please don't just settle to come here on a Sunday and let me preach to you. I'm only giving you three short passages from Hebrews today. That's not enough for your week. It's not enough to help you. If you just rely on someone to preach to you, or you just rely on a book you're reading where someone else is talking about it, or you just rely on your favorite song that has some scripture in it in the middle of that guitar riff, can I say all that's great? And I love to listen to good preaching. I love a good podcast. I like to read great Christian books. And I also love music that speaks truth about God's word. But if I'm not in God's word myself, well, you need to understand we will never be able to live the victorious life that God has for us. It's just the truth. I love how Christine Kane wrote it in a book. She said this: only getting God's word from someone else is like watching the Food Network all the time and expecting to be nourished and fed. Let me tell you something. I love the Food Network. Well, that's not funny. Okay, maybe it is. I don't like any show where someone's barefoot. I don't know about that. But anyway, I like it. I like those shows where they're going to, you know,
the healthy places, diners, drive-ins, and dives, you know? And so I like those. I like the competition. I like all that. Can I confess something to you, though? I watched a lot of Food Network over the years, just at different times, watch a show. And after I had my heart valve replaced, that was a birth defect, had that done a couple of years ago, and I was stuck at home for a long time, what I learned was, in that time of rehab, all I could find on TV to watch was Andy Griffith, which was great, and the Food Network. And I watched show after show. I was sick of food, sick of looking at somebody cook food. But I have watched so many cooking shows, but I have a confession to make. I bet in my lifetime, if I go all the way back to Justin Wilson, who remembers that? Nobody? Come on now, Cajun cooking. How about Julia Childs, all right? I'm not going to do my impersonation of her. If I go all the way back to what was way before the Food Network, and then you get to the Food Network, I've watched hundreds of shows of people cooking. I confess to you, I've never once cooked anything they made. Not once. I've asked my wife to sometimes. But I've never once done it myself. Can I say to you today that when it comes to God's word, you can spend hours listening to somebody else do some expository preaching. You can spend hours listening to or reading a book where someone's explaining God's word. But friends, you got to get in the kitchen and cook. You got to dig in yourself to see what God has for you. And listen, everybody's not going to make a gourmet meal the first time out. But I'm telling you, God wants to feed you through his word. And the scripture tells us he's equipped you. If you have Jesus, you've got the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit and God's word and some common sense as you read through it are enough. And you can learn to systematically study God's word. Now, back in February, we gave people some resources if they wanted them to help them study. And so we're going to do it again today. Some of those same resources plus a couple of extras that will help you if you want to know how to dig into God's word a little more on your own. You can take out your phone right now, wherever you are, and text the word Bible to 256-322-6100. Don't put your name or anything. Just put Bible, and then it's going to respond to you the right way and put you in the right group. And you're going to get some info this week about how to study Bible to 256-322-6100. We'd love to help you with that, to help take the next step in that and to go a little deeper in God's word. That's what we need to do. So start here in God's word. And then as simple as it sounds, let's look at what it says later in Hebrews about prayer. The same chapter, go to verse 14, Hebrews 4:14. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Friends, Jesus is our high priest. And it tells us we are a kingdom of priests ourselves. What does that mean? That's all the theological background of that means access to God. It means that we have access to the throne of grace because of Jesus. That we have access to God's hearing. We have access to God's heart. We draw near to the throne of grace when we pray. So can I encourage you, don't just start your life by a prayer, which is important, but start your day, every single day, with prayer, time in God's word. I love how the very well-known theologian who's been gone for many, many years, Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, he said, the morning prayer determines the day. Squandered time of which we are ashamed, temptations to which we succumb, weaknesses and lack of courage in work, disorganization and lack of discipline in our thoughts and in our conversation, all of these have their origin most often in the neglect of morning prayer. That's powerful. It's a powerful thought because prayer does affect our day. Look how King David says it in Psalm chapter 5. He says this, beginning in verse 1, give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my groanings. Give attention to the sound of my cry, my King and my God, for to you do I pray. O Lord, in the morning you hear my voice.
In the morning, I prepare a sacrifice for you and watch. What is the sacrifice? He prepared an actual sacrifice. What's the sacrifice we are to prepare? What's the application for us? It's a sacrifice of your life and mine. It's a sacrifice of your attention. It's the sacrifice of some time with him. If you will sacrifice time for intimate prayer with God and bold prayer, if you will sacrifice time and your life, then we just watch and see what God might do. I know this about my own life, that there are times that I get so busy that I will pray. I have my routine of prayer. I'm going to pray with my son on the way to school every day. We'll pray. I pray for my family every day. I pray for my wife as she goes to teach. I pray for my kids as they do. I have my routines of prayer, and there's nothing wrong with those routines. They're good, and I will have those routines. But I'm talking about outside of that, eternity-shaking, bold prayers where we ask God to do what only he can do. Sometimes I get too busy for those. And I, as your pastor, must confess, I don't always do that. Can I be honest and confess that there are times I get too busy to even spend much time in God's word? Oh, I'll spend it preparing my message, my personal time with him. There are times I can get so busy as your pastor that I am not clear at that and will neglect it from time to time. And can I tell you, that is never God's plan. And I want to be bold in my praying and bold in my study. I want to challenge you to start every day in your prayer time with outrageous gratitude. We see it over and over in the scripture that part of prayer always seems to lead to gratitude, to being thankful. So, that changes our perspective and who we are. And prayer always increases and makes better our relationship with the King. So I want to make sure I continue to pray on a regular basis. What I pray a lot of days, God, I'm going to face some decisions today. I need your help. God, I'm going to have to make some judgment calls today. I need your help. God, I'm going to need to show compassion today. I need your help. God, I want to see people the way you see them today. I need your help. God, help me to have your eyes. Help me to have your thought process. Help me to react the way that you would act. Help me to see people the way you would see them. And so I want to encourage you to do the same. So today may seem overly simple, talking about start with Jesus, start with God's word, and start with prayer. But friends, some of us just need to hear that. It's a reminder to get back to that. It is earth-shaking, eternity-shaking, bold prayers. Don't just pray the simple things. Ask God to use you in power. Ask him to show you how you're to live your life this day. Ask him to give you wisdom in your decisions and the people you encounter and what you're to do. Ask him through his word to teach you more about his character, to make you more like him, to do what Hebrews 4:12, ask him to do some surgery in your life, to dividing joints and marrow, soul and spirit, reveal to us who we are and who he is and what he wants us to be. I can tell you this, there have been many times I've read God's word as we wrap things up. There have been many times that I've read God's word that I didn't like what it revealed about myself. There have been times that I've read God's word that I loved what it revealed about God. There have been times it was easy to take and exciting and full of joy, and there have been times that what I read truly did a work of exhortation in my life where God just said, this is what you've got to do. This is the change that's needed in you. But I assure you of this, I missed out on those on the days I did not spend time with him. On the days I did not spend that, I missed out. And you do too. I think about my prayers. I won't because I don't have time, but I could tell you just this week of three different times, really, I think I could come up with three pretty easy, where God specifically answered prayers of something I was praying in a difficult way. And oh, how kind God is to respond, not because I'm making him, but because he wants me to be more like him. He wants me to make the right choice. He wants me to have his character. He wants me to have his wisdom. And so we ask, and God moves. Would you join me in that? So the invitation today is this. We're asking you to start right here with Jesus. Start right here with the idea of the psalm that says, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to you. Take my hands, take my feet, take my mouth, take my mind, all those things we sing. Take my life, Lord, let it be consecrated to you. We ask him to do that in us. And so here's what I would ask you to do. Would you make that song your prayer every day? Let that become your new prayer where you ask God to take your life. Let it be consecrated to Him today. Take my mind. Help me to think your thoughts and dwell on you. Take my hands. Let me do things that you would have me to do. Take my feet. Help me to go the places you would have me to go. Listen, friends, we need God to direct us. So the starting line is also the foundation. So as you get set to run the race of the day, as you get set to build on the foundation that day, start with Jesus. Start with His word. Start with prayer. Now, we'll get into much different things over the coming month that build upon that, but that's the starting point for all of it. So if you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus, I'm serious when I say this. Don't walk, you run, jog, whatever. Come down this aisle. Let's talk about how you can settle having Jesus in your life. Maybe you settled it earlier in the middle of the message. That's okay. Come and let me know so we can pray for you. Maybe for you, though, you just want a renewed commitment to God's word. You want a renewed commitment to making wise choices, a renewed commitment to seeing people the way God sees them. So you want to make a renewed commitment to His word and to prayer. Maybe you just come and pray. Maybe you've got some great need. You heard us sing that He reaches. The blood reaches to the highest mountain, to the lowest valley. Maybe you're in that valley right now and you're about to have to climb a mountain and you want to just come and pray and ask God to supernaturally do a work in your life. Come, let somebody pray with you. Maybe God's calling you to unite with our church. We've got two families that are joining today. I've got their information to read in just a moment. Maybe you say, God's calling us to be a part of this faith family. No pressure from me, but if that's what God's telling you to do, be obedient. If He's telling you to wait, wait. Whatever God would say, if I can pray with you, I would love to do so. Let's pray together. Father God, in this moment, we say, take my life. Let it be consecrated to you. Take my hands. Take my feet. Let them move at the impulse of your love. Take my will. Make it yours. Take my mind. Make it yours. God, may we respond as you direct now. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand together.
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. For more information, please call 256-878-2291 or visit www.albertvillefbc.org. We hope you will join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB.